faith touching virtue. Like the woman that had the issue, she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She purposed that in her mind and in her very most being that she's going to touch him. And that's what we call living faith, because she went through the motion and through the crowd and rubbed shoulders with unbelievers and all kinds of people, and she touched the hem of his garment, and he turned around and he said, who touched me? And the apostles and different ones said, who touched you? He said, there's people that's thronging you and touching you all the way around. But he said, I felt the virtue go out. So we're going to talk about faith and virtue and a few things like that tonight. But the virtue went out. And when he turned, there she was hunkered down, but she was healed. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Her faith had made her whole. It was activated and it was living faith. There is living faith and there is dead faith. And the living faith would be called our living. How many knows the song, I'm Living by Faith? Maybe sung a little bit about that. Living by faith, nothing between. The nothing between when you live by faith. And that faith is alive. It's not dead faith. It's alive. And so that faith then begins to touch things. And the first thing that it usually touches is virtue. Faith, add to your faith, virtue. So we're going to read in the 15th chapter of St. Luke, when we're going to talk about the prodigal son, who he was and what happened to him, how he arrived at the decision to go home, and what brought him home. And we're going to try to walk him home out of 2 Peter chapter 1. So we're tying these two together. And you know, it says, add to your faith virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So coming to the knowledge of the truth is the main thing, and faith comes by hearing the truth. How many knows that? And it's got to be the truth. It can't be something false that'll bring faith. Now, this prodigal son, father was evidently had plenty. He evidently meditated the wrong way. He went the wrong way, at least. And so let's start here with Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. So he had a living, and it says, and he divided unto them his living. You know what I think he divided to them? Living faith, along with the other goods that belonged to them. But here I believe he had a living faith, not a dead faith, but a living faith. But it dies on him later on in the story. Watch this. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, now I want to get this in, when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now I want to talk about getting home and how this happened here. He took everything that he had that belonged to him, and he wasted it with wrong living. He wasted it. I believe this in my spirit and my soul, that this boy was one that was in the hog pen, but he was not of the hog pen. You know, just like we're in the world, but we're not of the world. See, actually what we're in right now, we're in the hog pen. I mean, this world out there is getting to be a hog pen, and I believe the prodigal son is a representative of those that have fallen but came to themselves and come home, that have regained that like precious faith and have walked themselves home because they came to themselves. See, the church has got to come to itself. Our nation has got to come to itself. You know, they've already declared it. It's no longer a Christian nation, according to the president. It's no longer a Christian nation. Well, it probably is not. But I'll tell you, it can regain. I believe that people are sitting around in churches that's got faith, but it's dead faith. It's not living faith. The Father divided into them his living. Now, the elder brother did take care of that. He didn't leave. He done everything he was supposed to do. But when the prodigal son came home, he had to get some virtue stirred up on the inside of him because he couldn't stomach it. Because he said that he's been out there, he's done all this and he's done that and he's done something else. And you've never killed a fatted calf. That's not the point. It's what he had. We're not supposed to be worried about what somebody else got. God will actually pour out his spirit more on a sinner that comes home. And you just let some sinners start getting saved here. And you watch people come to life. For living faith will come in, and it'll not be dead faith. And every place I've ever been, in revivals and in churches, that faith, when it begins to be stirred and come alive, is when people begin to be saved, and they begin to come to themselves. He didn't belong there. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We don't belong here, but we're here. But there's a way to walk out of it. And that walk is by faith. If we walk by faith and not by sight, we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this prodigal son, he had had enough of what he had. He had had enough of death, and now he wanted life. And he remembered on that farm there was things going on. There was life there. There was different things there. But he didn't care what position he held when he got home. Just let me get to Father's house. And getting to Father's house is what God is trying to get the church to do. When we get to Father's house, we've got it made. You know what Father's house is? It's when we come to charity. Because God is love. That's Father's house. When we come to charity. So let's take a look at this. He had a virtuous thought. He probably hadn't had a virtuous thought since he left home. He didn't have time. He was so busy making a mess that he probably hadn't thought a virtuous thought since he left home. And it says, and he joined him to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine, did eat, and no man gave to him. Now there's one thing he did do, he did not eat with the swine, but he was tempted to. He was tempted to fellowship and eat with the swine. I don't know about you, but that means something to me. To fellowship and eat with the swine. But that's where he turned. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine, did eat, and no man gave to him. Verse 17, things begin to turn around. And when he came to himself, he realized that he didn't belong in that hog pen. That he was the son of a father that had living faith, that had many things, many blessings, and whatever he could do to get there was what he was going to do. He was going to walk his way. I know what. Let's read it here. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I don't belong here. I'm hungry. Even would eat the husk with the swine. But I can't do that because I don't belong here. He had that intuition that he did not belong there. I want to tell you, a lot of folks are living where they don't belong, and they need to get up and walk out of it. They need to get back to faith, the living faith, not dead faith. When living faith, it touches virtue and something happens. Now, what did he do? He had a virtuous thought. What was that virtuous thought? When he came to himself, he said, he think. His mind came back to it. No longer did he have a dead mind or a carnal mind. Now he's beginning to think spiritually. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. Here's that virtuous thought. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, according to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. By these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now this boy came to himself, and now he's beginning to have faith. Well, if I can get to Father's house, his faith comes alive, but he had a virtuous thought immediately. You know, it just takes one virtuous thought to get us turned around, if we'll follow through on it. Virtuous thought. I will arise. I will go to my father. I will say to him, this is virtuous thinking. He's going to Father's house. And I will say to him, I'm going to talk to him. And you know what I'm going to tell him? I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Boy, that's thinking, isn't it? That wasn't what he was thinking when he left home, when he went on the big spending spree and departed with all his living, which was faith, not only faith, but everything that he had with him. He got rid of it, he spent it all, and there he is in the hog pen. But now he's thinking virtuously. You know, we need to learn how to think virtuously and follow through on it. I know what I will do. I will arise and I will go. Where am I going? I'm going to head for Father's house. I don't belong here. See, he realized when he came to himself, I don't belong here. I belong over yonder. I made a mistake, and I'm willing to come home and humble myself, and I'm willing to tell my father, just let me be a servant around here. I don't have to be treated like a son. Just let me be a servant. But of course, the father never listened. When he started telling him these things, he said, I'll tell you what, to one of the servants, you go get the robe and put on him. The next one, he said, you go get the ring and put on his finger. The next servant, he said, you go get shoes and put upon his feet. And then he said to the next one, you go kill the fatted calf. I'm going to tell you, faith was coming alive. Can't you imagine that boy walked all the way home? I'll tell my father, and I'll tell him, I'm not worthy to call thy son. Make me as one of the servants. Make a few more steps. Amen. I just whatever it is, it's better than I've been in. I didn't belong there. Can't you hear him rehearsing it all the way home? And when he got there, he was able to spit it out in front of the father, and the father began to give him what he needed. He needed his living restored. And he gave to him, his living was restored. Everything that he had when he left. What he got rid of was his living, it said. So it got rid of his living. In other words, he wasn't really living. Did you know a lot of folks haven't never really lived? They don't know what really living is. You know what living is? It's living close to God. That is living. It's got something there that beats everything. All the things of this world that you could pile up doesn't amount to what God wants us to have. Now let's go over here to what Peter said. He said, now, I'm writing this letter to remind you. He said, you already know it. He said that on down there, but listen what he said here. He says in verse 3, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain. Now, what's he going to add to? Like precious faith. Listen to who the book is to. Simon Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And he's writing this to them that have obtained like precious faith. That's living faith. That's faith that is alive. That's faith that reaches out to touch virtue. That's faith that adds virtue to the faith. Now listen what he said. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So where are we called to? To glory and virtue. You know what the boy got down there in the hog pen? He got called home to glory and virtue. He got called where he could receive something. He got his virtue, so added to your faith. And it said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Now listen, there's this escape. This, can you see this young man? He said, I've escaped. I'm out of the hog pen. I'm going home. I'm going to go be with my father. I'm going to seek this virtue. I'm going to touch virtue once again. I want something. So this is what Peter says here. He said, according they called to glory and virtue, and he said, verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you're partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. So that's what the prodigal son done. He escaped the corruption that was in this world, and he became a new living creature. A new person. Old man, old things had passed away. All things become new. Now he's different. He's humble. He didn't go in and say, give me what belongs to me. It did belong to him, because the Father gave him back everything that he wasted. But he didn't go home demanding. He went home with an humble spirit, one that was pure and virtuous. Now listen to what he said in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That always comes after faith. Virtue comes, you know, after faith. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Well, you don't stop there. To virtue, knowledge. Now, don't you think when the Father was doling out all these things, knowledge came to him again? He said, is that for me? Yeah, this is for you. The ring is for you. And when you dip it in the wax solution and the ink, and you put your signet ring on that there, it's just as good as if me signed it. How many know he made exceptions for us that have obtained like precious faith? And he said, bring forth the best robe. Well, naturally, that's the robe of righteousness. So what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he's getting into the kingdom area right there, right then. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Then he said, put some shoes on his feet. That represents having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he's getting somewhere now. You know where he's at? He got the Father's house. And then he said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, temperance; to temperance, patience; to patience, godliness; to godliness, brotherly kindness; and to brotherly kindness, what? You know, he's home. He has walked himself home. He has added, number one, he has got out of the hog pen. He has came to himself. He has had a virtuous thought, and he has thought it out. I'm going home, and I have to walk every step of the way, and I don't have no shoes, and I don't have no ring. He probably pawned it in the pawn shop if it's in the natural. Said, but I don't have the ring anymore. I don't have no shoes upon my feet, and I'm a mess, but I'm hungry, and I'm here at Father's house. You know, he got to the place where the Father is, and there's nothing there at Father's house except love. Charity. Charity. That means love. You know, the church needs to get back to charity. The church needs to get back to Father's house. It's a push and shove thing, and that had not ought to be. People cannot not sit down and walk themselves through the problem. They're shiftless, and they go here, and they go there. They get away from this, and out of this, and they're into that, and into something else. Can you just see where it's at? I could see the road on the way home, you know. He probably met lots of others that was going the wrong way. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to my Father's house. Where are you going? Well, I'm going down here to have a good time. I'm going down here and submit myself to the wrong thing, and I'm going to get in the hog pen, and I'm going to waller around. How many knows that Jesus, I believe it was, said something about that if you clean the sow up and wash her real good, you could put a ribbon, I guess, around her neck and just pretty that sow up, and the next thing you know, she's in a mud puddle. wallowing around. And that's where the church is today. It's wallowing around in the mud puddle, and it needs to get on its way home. And the way it starts with living faith and get rid of this stuff that they call faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's substance. It's something hoped for. So we find here, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. To temperance, patience. Don't you imagine he learned patience? He probably looked down the road a lot of times and said, oh, that's a long way. But be patient, just keep walking. You'll find it. You'll find Father's house. And guess what? When he got there, the father happened to be looking and seen him, and he ran out to meet him. He didn't just happen to. He knowed when he was coming home. You know, God knows all things. The father, he had an intuition, I believe, that this is the day that he's coming home. He might have looked at somebody else in the household and said, the son will be home today. He may have knew all these things. But you see, whatever that it was, the prodigal son was walking himself. He came to himself. He had a virtuous thought. He thought it all out in the hog pen. And you know what he was saying? I don't belong here. I came to myself. I know what I'll do. That's proof of it. I'll go to my father. I'll say to my father, I'm not worthy to be thy son. Just let me be called a servant. Just let me be a servant. Now, let's go back over here just a minute here. And I want to bring into it, so he had a virtuous thought. It all started with a virtuous thought. How many knows it always starts with thinking? Good or bad starts with thinking. And you know, our thought pattern is very necessary that we think about Father's house. We think about God. We think about the blessings that God has. We think about, where am I at? See, in his way of thinking, he never had thought about where he really was. He just went from one thing to another and another thing to another. I don't know if you've dealt with some people that's really seriously and got problems, drug problems and all kinds of problems. I mean, terrible problems. They haven't thought a virtuous thought in no telling when. But once you get them to think of a virtuous thought, they begin to turn around. It's kind of like they come to themselves. But you see, our whole nation needs to come to itself. Huh? Every household in this nation needs to come to itself. It needs to see that it's on the downward spin, and we're going to have to get up and get moving back towards Father's house. We're going to have virtuous thought. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us how we're supposed to think. If there be any, let's just turn to that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, that's good, isn't it? Whatsoever things are good report. You know, I've heard so many bad reports, I don't hardly want to even turn the TV on anymore to get the news. If there be any what? If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on virtue. Think on the things that's honest, the things that's pure. And if there be any virtue, think on these things. Well, we have to have that virtue to tell us where we're at. When he had a virtuous thought, he came to himself at the same time. And that virtuous thought began to tell him what he needed to do. And he began to submit himself to that. How many knows what the Bible said? Submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. Submit. You know, he submitted himself to God. He resisted the devil, and he fled. The devil got away from him. And it loosed the bond of him to the man that had put him to work, and he just took off and began to walk himself home. And he done exactly what 2 Peter chapter 1 says. He added to his faith virtue. We find Philippians, he said, if there be any virtue. See, virtue is purity, it's power. Virtue is power. So he added the power. When he got to Father's house, he had a brand new everything. All of it restored. Huh? I was thinking, I'm working on this here, that we're to repair the breach and restore the paths to live in and to walk in. Now, if we restore them, how did the path get there? What makes a path? It requires feet walking in a place continuously to make a path. And the more that we walk in a path, the greater the outline of the path gets. So that's what it is to restore the paths that we walk in. Well, how we restore, everybody gets back, starts walking in them all. What? The path of straight, the path of peace, the path of righteousness, and all, it names all those paths. Look them up in the Bible. I'm writing them in this book. The things that we're to restore, all these paths. We get to walking in righteousness. We get to walking in peace. We get to walking with the virtue, walking with this, and walking with that, and walking with something else. If there be any virtue, how many got that? So the paths come by, and I didn't say repair the path, restore it. John said there's one that's coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he said, make his path straight. So there's straight paths. So we have these things to work with. So here we find this prodigal son. He was hungry and his thoughts were straightened out and it caused him to go home. He put this thing into action. Now faith is useless without it being put in action. Add to your faith virtue. The virtue knowledge. That just comes. The knowledge tempers. The tempers patience. But he started with a virtuous thought and it brought the right action. It brought righteousness and peace. It brought joy. Don't you know that when he began to get closer to home, he wasn't worried about his position. He was just, I'm anxious to get home. I'm anxious to be where I belong. I don't care what position it is. I'll mop the floor. I'll do all the cleanup, whatever that it is. I'll be a servant. I'm not worthy to be a son. But you see, all that right, that all on his trip home, he had made up his mind. And now first he got himself out of the hog pen where he didn't belong. Somebody said, did he have faith when he was in the hog pen? Yeah, but it was dead faith. But the minute he had a virtuous thought, that faith, I know what I'll do. I will arise and I'll go to my father. I'll say to my father, you know, faith began to act. And faith in action really does something. So it helped him get home. I can't see, I don't know what he done. If it had been me, I probably would have shouted the biggest part of the way home. Because of the thing that I knew that God was delivering. So he had his destination. I want to talk about the destination. His destination was Father's house. And guess what? Father's house was where he left. No longer is he trying to run from Father's house. He's trying to run to get to Father's house. You know, we need to run the race towards Father's house. Actions of the Father in the house. It revived his faith. You know, Jesus said one time, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, he didn't say you get to prepare us a mansion. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But he went on. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I'm at that you're also. That's good enough for me. If it's a mansion, it'll be all right. But if it's a cabin, he's going to be there. And that's all I need because I've made up my mind that I want to be at Father's house. Whether I'm a servant or whatever God calls me to do, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability because I want to stay at Father's house. I want to stay in the good graces of the Father. You know, the Father has a mansion up there, but Jesus said, wherever I'm at, that's where you're going to be also. Isn't that good enough for us? Wherever he's at, wherever he lives, that's where I want to live. You see, he is my life. He is the way. He is the truth. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He said, no man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the mediator. He is the connector between us and the Father. He is the connector with us where we can get someplace. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. How many have caught a fish lately? A man. Have you talked to somebody lately? Have you let a virtuous thought go through your mind? And say, I'm going to win that person to God. I'm going to take him to Father's house. I'm going to see that he gets all cleaned up and goes to Father's house. Righteousness and peace and joy comes forth. He added to his faith virtue. To virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance. To temperance patience. To patience godliness. To godliness brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness charity. And he could add it now because he's added all these together, and he has walked himself home. The 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I'm sure you're all familiar with it. I'm not going to get into it. Speaks of love, which is charity. Love covers a multitude of sins. We know that. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of them is what? Now, so faith, he had hope, but the best one was when he added charity. Because he's home. He's home. This world, you know, we sang a song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And that's the way I feel about it. This world's not my home. You know, I don't belong here. And if you're a Christian, you don't belong here. But at the appropriate time, but we're here to work while we're here. We're here to win souls. We're here to live for God. We're here to we're to represent Christ. We're here to hear what he has to do. And we're here to have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And this younger brother, he wasted his living, it says. And so his faith became dead. And I believe that, you know, just anything was pulling him every way. And he wound up in this horrible place. Empty. Back to the word empty. Did you know he was empty in all things? He was hungry in the natural. He was hungry in the spirit. He had lost his well-being because he said he had to come to himself. So all these things. But he said, the one thing he said, and I'm going to close here, I will arise and go to my father. And he arose and came to his father. The feeling of empty, this here feeling of emptiness. Don't you know he felt empty out there? I'm so empty I could eat the husk with the swine, but I can't do that. I'm hungry. I'm miserable. I don't belong here. And then he says, he gets the message, I will arise. And I will go to my father, and I will pray. And he said all these things. And he went home to his father's house. And you know, in 2 Peter, finishing up that, said, but he that lacketh these things. Now, if you add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness charity. And it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore the rather brethren give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall what? Never fall. Never fall. Never leave Father's house again. Never fall. He that lacketh these things he that lacketh these things blind cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he's purged from his old sin. Wherefore the rather brethren give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And then verse 11 and 12 has abundant supply there. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's good enough for me. Then he comes on down to the next one. Wherefore, now here's what I see a lot of people need. Everybody, I need more of this myself. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you knew them, and be established. Now, here's the part right here. And be established in what? The present truth. That present truth will bring forth a living faith. It'll bring out people out of the hog pen. You know, when they had revivals, used to years ago, really had some great revivals, tents and brush arbors and in churches, and you could just might near have a revival on a street corner. I'll tell you what. Power of God was moving so great in St. Louis and some of the places that I've had the opportunity of preaching. The power of God was so real that you could just might near have it right. But you know what that revival was? It was a revival to bring us back to a living faith. You know, they had the thing going, God is dead. Huh? No, God's not dead. They just made a mistake. Their faith is dead. See, God's not dead. He's a living God. Sister Brother, you want to come sing a song? I'll tell you what I'd like you to do. I'm going to be sending out the book, especially on this one. Repair, breach, restore the past, and talking about the robe. I got into that word robe in this particular study. And a robe, how many knows what a robe is? It's something that jumps the fence or pushes the fence down, or something that gets in something. And when we looked up the word robe in the dictionary and began to get all the meanings of it, I was amazed. How many know the police department and the officials, law officials, have a place where they have pictures of all the criminals, and it's called the Rogue Gallery. So these criminals are all rogue. Huh? Anybody that's rogued in the church or into somebody else's business or something like that, that's a rogue. We're going to have to learn right now to discern all the rogues that we've got. I'll guarantee you Mountain View, Arkansas has got plenty of rogues around. They'll rogue your church. They'll rogue your home. They'll rogue your children. They'll have them on drugs. You know, that's a rogue. They'll have them in jail. That's a rogue. Rogues. And I've got a lot in there about that. I want people to join me in what we call repairing the breach. How many know what a breach is? It's a hole in the fence. But I demonstrated here last time I was here. I had all of them together around here and hold hands real tight in unity. I couldn't get through them. But as soon as I got one's attention toward the other one, I just slipped right under and I said, here I am. You see, we've got to have unity. We've got to have the same mind, all to working together. Because a rogue will get in. I remember so well, they had open range where I lived when I was a young teenage boy. And I lived, my dad and mother was working in a defense plant in Kansas City. And I was going to high school and staying with my grandmother there on the farm over in Oregon County, Missouri. And I remember if these outside cattle that was wild and every hogs and everything, they would rogue their way through the fence and make a hole in the fence. Now, I've run myself to death nearly a half a day trying to get them to find that hole that they come in at. And they'd run right by it. Just run and sweat and holler and yell, you know, and run that mule or cow or hog, whatever it was, out of your field. And it seemed like he couldn't find a way out, but he could sure push his way in. So we got to watch those that push their way in. We got to repair the breach. There's only one breach. That's sin. Sin is the breach. It tears a hole in everything. Sin does. But when we repair that, when we get restored, repaired, then we can start restoring paths. And it says in that one book, it says the name. How many know our new name it says? Our name would be called the repairer of the breach and a restorer of the path to walk in and to live. Praise the Lord. Restore. I'm getting people together that'll help, that'll really bind together, and let's believe that we get rid of the breach. Get rid of sin. Get it out of the, at least where we attend church, out of where we are town. Get things going. Lord, get the Spirit of God moving. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. I'm going to turn it back to the pastor here, and, been up my privilege to preach here. I trust that you've received something. Probably what I've preached here tonight and this morning will go into a book form too. And these books are teaching forms. And God's given me the equipment and the tools to work with now. And we can get on different radio broadcasts. We can get on all kinds of things now. And I believe that God has prepared it for this time. So, brother, God bless you.
Filled with God, filled with God, pardoned and cleansed, and filled with God, filled with God, filled with God. Emptied of self and filled with God. Filled with God. Filled with God. Pardoned and cleansed and filled with God, filled with God, filled with God, emptied of self and filled with God.
Filled
with God, filled with God, pardoned and cleansed, and filled with God, filled. filled with God, emptied of self,
and filled with God.
What more do I need but Jesus in me? What more do I need to set me free? He's the King of my soul, everything in control. What more do I need but Jesus in me? Jesus in me, my all in all to me. Jesus in me, a home of glory. Jesus in me, I'll live eternally. What more do I need but Jesus in me? Things here on earth, like many I know, many things we think we need that we could let go. But then I think of my soul in eternity. What more do I need but Jesus in me? What more do I need but Jesus in me? What more do I need to set me free? He's the King of my soul, everything in control. What more do I need but Jesus in me?